try to draw attention to where we are. Let me start off by asking a deep question in some ways, sort of reflective of those discussion questions, but you know, when the chips are down, what is it that you're going to trust in? When things are not going well, when your back's against the wall, what is it that you trust in? Yeah, we heard that in terms of the mission sharing just a little while ago, and I was thinking about that with the bushfires that have been taking place recently and right at the moment. Just the other day, I can't remember if it was 2 days ago or yesterday, we had a WhatsApp message go out from one of the members at the 415 service who has a relative and her husband and asking us to pray for them because they live up in the Blue Mountains where one of the fires are taking place, and the fire was incredibly close to their place. The wife had already left, but the husband stayed back to fight the fire. And not only were we asked to pray, but there was a photo taken of what was going on, and the photo was quite terrifying. The fire had gotten right up close to the house. There was fire in the background, just illuminated that glowing red orange, and the grass just a couple of meters away was also alight. That was on fire. It was burning. It's hard to imagine how terrifying it was for the husband and for the wife who wasn't there. In the middle of all that, how do you work out whether to stay and fight and whether to run away and to go? When your back is against the wall, what do you trust? Because right at that moment, everything else, it gets stripped away. You know, when you're facing the fire, it doesn't matter what your career is. It doesn't matter what your salary looks like, how much money you have, how successful you are, or what your degrees are. None of that matters. When there's a fire at your door, you can't trust in any of those things. The only thing that you can trust are the firefighters, your hose, and God, which is why we're asked to pray. It's quite different when everything else is going okay, when things are going fine. It's easy to say your trust is in God. But then the way that we live often doesn't reflect that. We often tell ourselves to be secure, to be happy, we need to have more money. We need to have a better job. We need to be successful. We need those degrees. We need the place that we live in. That's what's going to make us happy. It'll make us secure. And we trust in God. We say we trust in God, but actually so much of our lives are built on those other things. Those other things are the things that we trust in that's going to get us through, that'll make sure that we're okay. When things are hard or the things get stripped away, but then whether things are going well for us or hard for us, at the end of the day, what is it that we really trust in? That's the situation that King Ahaz is facing in Isaiah chapter 7. That was read out for us, thanks Matt, with all those different names there. That's what's going on there, where this is not a happy time, this is a hard time. Now, Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14, it's one of those verses that come up at Christmas time. It's a great Christmas passage, and it is. It's easy to grab that verse in and of itself, but I don't know how easy that was to follow what's going on in Isaiah chapter 7. And so as we near Christmas, I want to look at this great Christmas passage, but I actually want to look at what does it mean for the people back then. You know, I want to look at what does it mean for them first, what does it mean before we jump ahead to ourselves and see what does this Christmas passage mean for us. Why don't we pray as we take a look at God's word and ask God to help us this morning. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for your word to us. We pray that as we look at Isaiah chapter 7, help us to understand what is going on there in the midst of all these different names in different places. Help us to see what this means for us here in 2019. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. When the chips are down, what are you going to put your trust in? Now, Isaiah 7 is 734 years before Jesus was born. So we're winding back the clock a good 2,700 years to seeing what is going on in these different events. And there's two people you need to know, two main characters in the story. There is Ahaz, he's the king, and there's Isaiah the prophet. So in all that different story, in that whole chapter, they're the two main people who are speaking here. Now, King Ahaz, he is the king of God's people down there in the south. He's the king of Judah. And so he's in Jerusalem, the capital, and there is a crisis going on. Now, it's not a bushfire that he's facing. It is the threat of war. Here in chapter 7, he is facing the terrible prospect of being invaded, being attacked from two different directions by two different countries, two different enemies there. So we've got Judah. It's kind of fuzzy there, but that's the purple down the bottom. And then there's Syria, the yellow at the top, or Aram, governed by King Rezin. That's enemy number one. Enemy number two is the northern kingdom of Israel, right next door to them. It's also called Ephraim in this chapter, and it's governed by King Pekah. Two different enemies. And the country is being attacked. And the people and King Ahaz, they are terrified. In verse 2, the people are shaking like trees. They are absolutely terrified of what is going to happen. They're going to be invaded by these two countries. What's going to happen in the midst of all that? And in this crisis, that's when God sends Isaiah the prophet to King Ahaz in verse 3. Now you see in verse 3 that Ahaz, he's standing there at the aqueduct because he is in siege mentality. He is inspecting the waterworks. He's looking at the water supply of Jerusalem. He's getting ready for the attack, and that's when God speaks to him. What does God say to Ahaz? He says to Ahaz, "Trust me. Trust me. It is not going to happen." It'd be great if you've got Isaiah 7 open in front of you. Let me read from verse 4. God says to Isaiah, "Say to him, say to Ahaz, be careful, keep calm, and don't be afraid. Don't lose heart because of these two smoldering stubs of firewood, because of the fierce anger of Rezin and Aram, and of the son of Remaliah. These two kings that you're scared of, they are just smoldering stubs of firewood." Now, when you hear that, don't think the bushfires, that's not the picture that's going on here. It's like last year when our family went away to Koyama. We were there on holidays. We stayed at a place where they had this fireplace. And because it was cold, we had the fire going. And when it was bedtime, when it was time to go to sleep, we stopped putting the wood into the fireplace, and the fire would slowly start to die out. That last bit of wood that was in there, it starts burning up. It gets smaller and most of it's turned into ash. But there's still part of that last piece of wood that's a little bit red and it's glowing. These two kings and their armies are a little bit like that last piece of wood. It's not on fire. It's smoldering away. It'll hurt if you pick it up. But actually the fire, it's dying. And so are those two armies. They're starting to fade out. You see, their plan was to invade Judah and to tear it apart. But verse 7, it will not take place. It's not going to happen. For the head of Aram is Damascus. And the head of Damascus is only Rezin. It's only a man. Within 65 years, Ephraim will be too shattered to be a people. God says to Ahaz, when the chips are down, when everything is against you, when your back is against the wall and you're in a crisis, trust me. Trust me. It's not going to happen. Now, when God makes a promise, that is good enough to trust. You take God at his word, but God here is even more gracious than that. And so Isaiah says to Ahaz, you should trust him anyway. God's made a promise, but God wants you to know you can trust him. God wants to give you proof that you can trust him so you can be absolutely confident. And so in verse 10, Isaiah says, ask the Lord your God for a sign, whether in the deepest depths or in the highest heights. In other words, it's kind of like, you know, pick a card, any card. This is pick a sign, any sign. You can have it. That's how much God wants you to know that you can trust him. Now, in response, you know, Ahaz, he seems very religious at this point. He says, no, I don't want to do that. I don't want to put the Lord my God to the test. He quotes Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 16. I don't want to put the Lord to the test. I don't want to ask a sign. I don't want to test God. And it sounds pious. It sounds very holy and humble. It sounds very religious. It sounds like a good response to make, but it's not. Because Ahaz is actually just all show at this point. He's just pretending. This is the facade. And you can see that when Isaiah gets angry in the following verses. But you can also see that because of what we know about King Ahaz. In 2 Kings, we read about Ahaz. Ahaz is a bad king. He is a wicked king who does not trust God. And so he doesn't ask for a sign because he actually doesn't want to believe. He doesn't want to trust God. He's actually come up with his own plans. And those plans, they don't include God. In 2 Kings chapter 16, we actually read about the same time that we see in Isaiah chapter 7. 2 Kings chapter 16 talks about these two nations attacking Ahaz. And as we read the other version of what's going on, as we see that the other side of what's taking place, Isaiah actually tells Ahaz to trust God, but Ahaz is going to trust something else instead. We read in 2 Kings chapter 16, Ahaz sent messengers to Tiglath-Pileser, king of Assyria. He said to him, I am your servant and vassal. Come and save me out of the hand of the king of Aram and the king of Israel who are attacking me. He's turning to Assyria for help. And not only that, but he's paying them off with the things that come out of the temple. And Ahaz took the silver and the gold found in the temple of the Lord and in the treasuries of the royal palace and sent it as a gift to the king of Assyria. You see, Ahaz knew that he needed to be saved. He knew that the city needed to be saved, but instead of trusting in God and God's promises, he's trusting something else. He's trusting in himself and his plans and his powerful friends. Ahaz didn't want a sign from God because he actually doesn't want to trust in God. Isaiah is actually angry at the response of Ahaz. He sees through Ahaz's response. And even though Ahaz doesn't want a sign, God is going to give him one anyway. One of the most famous verses of Isaiah is there in verse 14. The Lord will give you a sign. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel. The sign will be a son, and the son is going to be called Emmanuel, which means God with us. And when this son is still small, before he knows the difference between right and wrong, those two kings that you're so scared of, they are going to be wiped out. Their countries are going to be laid waste. You don't have to be scared. It is going to happen. It's going to happen soon. This child who's going to be born is a sign that God is with us. Emmanuel. It's a sign that they will be saved. It's a good sign, a sign of comfort and hope. And if Ahaz is sitting there thinking, phew, well, that's good then. That's a good sign to have. It's actually not for him. This sign is actually not so great because this king that you've asked help for in verse 17 onwards, this king that you are trusting in instead of trusting God, the king of Assyria, he will come and he's going to finish off Damascus and Israel, but then he's going to come for you and he's going to turn his attention to Judah. Verse 17, the Lord will bring on you and on your people and on the house of your father a time unlike any since Ephraim broke away from Judah. He will bring the king of Assyria. And the rest of chapter 7 talks about the devastation the king of Assyria is going to wreak on Judah itself. The sign of being saved is at the same time a sign of being judged. And that is exactly what happens. Assyria does defeat those two kings and he destroys Judah just a few years later. One writer talks about this, describes Ahaz like being this little mouse being attacked by two rats. And so the mouse turns to the cat for help. And the cat comes along and it gets rid of the two rats, but then has the mouse for dessert. That is what happens to Ahaz. The child Emmanuel is a sign of hope and being saved, but a sign of judgment at the same time. It is both judgment on the unbelief of Ahaz. It's a confusing sign. It's a double-sided sign, but who is this sign? Who is Emmanuel? Now, for Ahaz, if we sort of jump ahead to what we know of chapter 7, verse 14, we sort of land on Jesus, but that doesn't mean much to Ahaz. Ahaz never meets Jesus, and Aram and Israel are supposed to be defeated before the time that this child grows up, and that takes place way before Jesus is born. Now, I'd love you to jump down to Isaiah chapter 8. If you've got your Bibles there, I want to show you Isaiah chapter 8, verse 1. As I read this verse out, I want you to look out for these parallels between what we just saw in Isaiah 7 as we try to work out the fulfillment of this sign, and to look at Isaiah 8, a young woman who conceives, who gives birth to a son, who has a special name. Two nations being destroyed. Let me read out Isaiah chapter 8, verse 1. The Lord said to me, take a large scroll and write on it with an ordinary pen, Meher Shalal Hashbaz, and I'll call in Uriah the priest and Zechariah, son of Berechiah, as reliable witnesses for me. Then I went to the prophetess. There's the young woman that we see, the prophetess. It's Isaiah's wife, and she conceived and gave birth to a son. And the Lord said to me, name him Meher Shalal Hashbaz, before the boy knows how to say my father or my mother. The wealth of Damascus and the plunder of Samaria will be carried off by the king of Assyria. Do you see there in Isaiah chapter 8, there is a young woman who has a son. This son has a special name. The word virgin from Isaiah chapter 7 can just mean young woman. That's what we see in chapter 8. Before this boy even learns to speak, those two countries, Aram and Israel, whose capitals are Damascus and Samaria, they will be beaten by Assyria. The sign for Ahaz is Isaiah's son with his strange name. That's the immediate fulfillment of Isaiah chapter 7. But of course, it doesn't just stop there, does it? That son, the one that's to come, it goes forward as we land on Christmas and we see it's not just a sign for Ahaz, it's a sign for us. Because it's not just in chapter 8 that we see this son, but when we get to Matthew's gospel, we see this special son. It's all over Christmas. It's Christmas through Matthew's eyes. We're going to see over the next few weeks, we're going to work our way through Matthew. Over the next couple of weeks, we're going to see Matthew through the Christmas services, the Christmas Day, the next couple of weeks. And we see how this verse, Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14, it comes up throughout Matthew in a really important way. We see how Joseph was engaged to a young girl called Mary. It's a familiar story to us. But then he discovers that Mary was pregnant. Joseph knew it wasn't by him. And so he decides to call off the engagement, calls off the marriage, but to do it quietly. And an angel comes to him and tells him, I know that Mary is pregnant, and I know it's not by you. It's not by anyone else. She hasn't been unfaithful. This child is the work of God. Give him the name Jesus, because he's going to save his people. That's what Jesus means, God saves. And do you remember what Matthew says in Matthew chapter 1? Verse 22, he says, all this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. It's the sign of Isaiah, not taking place in just a few years' time. It's Isaiah chapter 7 taking place in 700 years. Except this time it's not a young woman. It is a virgin. this is a miracle birth. And it's not just Isaiah's son. This is God's son. And he's not just called Emmanuel. He is Emmanuel. This is God with us, all of God in this tiny baby. And he comes to save by dying on a cross. That is God's sign for us. A few years ago, we stayed at a family friend's place in Canberra. The family friends were away for the week that we were there, and so they left us the keys, they let us use their place, and when we got there, we walked inside, we walked into the kitchen, and there on the bench were these three activity books, you know, colouring in these different facts about the world, and there was this little sign on it that was written by the family friends which said that the books were presents for our kids. That was a sign to tell us that. Well, this is God's sign to us. In Isaiah 7:14, a virgin gives birth to a son who will save us from our sins, a baby who is God, God with us so that we can be with God. And the invitation to us is just like it was for Ahaz, to put your trust in God, to trust this sign that he gives us, to trust in Jesus. See, as we look at Christmas just around the corner, we look at Isaiah chapter 7. Have you done that? Have you put your trust in Jesus? Is he the one that you turn to? And if he's not, or you don't know how to do that, I would love to talk to you after the service. When you're going through a crisis, whether it's a bushfire or the threat of attack for Ahaz, a sickness in the family, a relationship breakdown, when everything is stripped away, what is it that you trust in? You know, if you're going through a hard time this morning, if you're going through a hard time right now, Isaiah 7 says to us, keep holding on to God's love. At the 9 a.m. service, I just found out this morning as I was walking over to church, I got this text to say that one of our church members from the 9 o'clock service passed away last night. You know, no one was expecting it. Caught everyone by surprise. But the great thing is, when everything is stripped away, when you are facing the judgment seat of God, this thing will hold us through, even through death itself. And so for that church member at 9 o'clock, she is a dear sister in Christ. She has a sign of God's love. It's a shape of a baby, and it's a shape of a cross. Make sure that your trust, when everything else is stripped away, is found in the right place. Well, how do you know what it is that you trust in? How do you know in the good times what it is that we are trusting in? Because when the good times are happening, there's all sorts of things that can cloud around. And like we said at the start, you can say you trust God, but you build your life on all these other things. I think the way that we can tell whether we trust God when all those things are stripped away is the way that we live even now. What are we trusting in now? If life is easy for us, how do we live? What is it that gets center stage in your life? Is it your kids or is it your grandkids? Is it the activities you're involved in? Is it your work or the kids and which school they go to or your kids and what sports they do? Because if we trust God, it will matter to the way that we live. If we trust God with our money, we will use our money for the kingdom of God. If we trust God with our time, we will use our time to serve at church or to go to growth group, to call someone up and see how they're going. Maybe if we trust that God's sign is a sign of hope, a sign of being saved, if we trust in Jesus, but it's a sign of judgment if we ignore him. If we trust in that very truth, then we will do all that we can to make sure that the people around us hear about the Lord Jesus Christ. We will make sure that we'll do everything that we can that they know about Christmas, even if it means hard work. When we teach scripture or we go on mission, we help out the Gingerbread House event, we invite them to come to one of the Christmas services. It will show that we trust God, that we trust what he says to us, this sign that is written for us. because God has given us a sign. The virgin will give birth to a son. Here is God with us. The sign of Christmas is an incredible sign. Will we trust him this week, this year, as we live for him? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you that you give us the sign of Isaiah chapter 7, that the virgin will be with child and give birth to a son. We thank you, Lord, that this was a word written to Ahaz, but it's a word also written to us, that we know even more than Ahaz how this word is fulfilled in the Lord Jesus Christ, that Jesus is a sign of hope and being saved for those of us who trust in Jesus, but it's also a sign of judgment if we ignore him. Father, we pray that wherever we are in life, if things are tough or if things are good, that we put our trust in Jesus and that it shows in how we live. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.